do any harm. They'd put up statues to us if they'd thought about it."
"Some of those towns looked pretty poor, Morris," said the kid doubtfully.
"Hey, just the kind of places that don't need wars, then.
Dangerous Beans says it's..."
The boy concentrated, and his lips moved before he said the word, as if he was trying out the pronunciation to himself.
It's unethical."
"That's right, Morris," said the squeaky voice. "Dangerous Beans says we shouldn't live by trickery."
"Listen, Peaches, trickery is what humans are all about," said the voice of Morris. "They're so keen on tricking one another all the time that they elect governments to do it for them. We give them value for money. They get a horrible plague of rats. They pay a rat piper. The rats all follow the kid out of town, hoppity-skip. End of plague. Everyone's happy that no one's whittling in the flour anymore. The government gets re-elected by a grateful population. General celebration all round. Money well spent, in my opinion."
"But there's only a plague because we make them think there is," said the voice of Peaches.
"Well, my dear, another thing all those little governments spend their money on is rat catchers, see? I don't know why I bother with a lot of you. I really don't."
"Yes, but we..."
They realised that the coach had stopped. Outside, in the rain, there was the jingle of harness. Then the coach rocked a little, and there was the sound of running feet. A voice from out of the darkness said,
"Are there any wizards in there?"
The occupants looked at one another in puzzlement.
"No,"
said the kid, the kind of no that means, "Why are you asking?"
"How about any witches?"
said the voice.
"No, no witches," said the kid.
"Right. Are there any heavily armed trolls employed by the mail coach company in there?"
"I doubt it," said Morris.
There was a moment's pause, filled with the sound of the rain.
"Okay. How about werewolves?"
said the voice eventually. The speaker sounded as though he was working through a list.
"What do they look like?"
said the kid.
"Oh, well, they look perfectly normal right up to the point where they grow all, like, hair and teeth and giant paws and leap through the window at you," said the voice.
"We've all got hair and teeth," said the kid. "Is that any help?"
"So you are werewolves, then?"
"No."
"Fine, fine."
There was another pause filled with rain.
"Okay, vampires," said the voice. "It's a wet night. You wouldn't want to be flying in weather like this. Any vampires in there?"
"No," said the kid. "We're all perfectly harmless."
"Oh, boy," muttered Morris, and crawled under the seat.
"That's a relief," said the voice. "You can't be too careful these days. There's a lot of funny people about."
A crossbow was pushed through the window, and the voice said,
"Your money and your life. It's a two-for-one deal, see?"
"The money's in the case on the roof," said Morris's voice from floor level.
The highwayman looked around the dark interior of the coach.
"Who said that?"
he said.
Me,"
said the boy.
"I didn't see your lips move, kid."
The money is on the roof, in the case. But if I was you, I wouldn't..."
"Huh, I just expect you wouldn't,"
said the highwayman. His masked face disappeared from the window. The boy picked up the pipe that was lying on the seat beside him. It was the type still known as a penny whistle, although no one could remember when they'd ever cost only a penny.
"Play robbery with violence, kid," said Morris quietly.
"Couldn't we just give him money?"
said the voice of Peaches. It was a little voice.
"Money is for people to give us," said Morris sternly.
Above them, they heard the scrape of the case on the roof of the coach as the highwayman dragged it down. The boy obediently picked up the flute and played a few notes. Now there were a number of sounds. There was a creak, a thud, a sort of scuffling noise, and then a very short scream. When there was silence, Morris climbed back onto the seat and poked his head out of the coach into the dark and rainy night.
"Good man," he said. "Sensible. The more you struggle, the harder they bite. Probably not broken skin yet. Good. Come forward a bit so I can see you. But carefully, eh? We don't want anyone to panic, do we?"
The highwayman reappeared in the light of the coach lamps. He was walking very slowly and carefully, with his legs spread wide apart. And he was quietly whimpering.
"Ah, there you are!"